This is the Mosaic Church Podcast. Mosaic Church is committed to making disciples that discover Christ, connect in Christian community, and serve others and the world.
Well, today is Palm Sunday, and I believe all of you have a palm cross. If you don't, there's some in the back. It's our gift to you to remind us what today is. Palm Sunday at Mosaic. It's a tradition throughout Christian history known as Holy Week. And it's designed to get our focus, our attention on the passion or the suffering of Christ. And I would say some churches, but I would say maybe what I would call them high churches, have a calendar that they follow, and they do a very good job of making sure everything goes in line as far as the Christian calendar about focusing our attention on the passion or the suffering of Christ. And typically, like our church, it's like we can't help but open the gifts ahead of time before Christmas. You know, we're just like, anybody ever sneak the Christ, you know, go in your parents' closet and open the gifts? Yes, yes. Yes, right here. She was known for that. And so we get ahead of the game. I'm already backtracking twice. I need to stop. So we want to celebrate the resurrection, which I think is awesome. But this week, let's really focus on Jesus and his last week on earth before he was crucified. And so the story that we're going to talk about is the story of God himself coming to earth in the form of a human being named Jesus, living this perfect life, and then willingly going to the cross in order to die for the sins of the world. Traditionally, this has been going on. People have been going to Jerusalem for a long, long time. There's an ancient book called the Pilgrim of Egeria, which describes in the 4th century people visiting Jerusalem to get a sense of what happened that week when Jesus was crucified. So they've been doing that for centuries. So Holy Week starts today, and then we have Maundy Thursday. Anybody ever been part of a Maundy Thursday? I have too. On campus, we used to do a Maundy Thursday ceremony. It's when Jesus washed the disciples' feet during what is known as the Last Supper, the night that he was betrayed. And so a lot of churches do celebrate Maundy Thursday, but this, our church, we're going to celebrate Good Friday this coming Friday. It's the day that Good Friday marks the day, the anniversary when Jesus was crucified. And the reason we say it's Good Friday, it's not that it was good what happened to him. What was good is the blessing and benefit that we get. And that's why we call it Good Friday. Suffering is not good, but it was Jesus what he did for us. His death accomplished on our behalf, that was good. Good because it took away our sins. And he hung in our place, paying the price for our sins so that we could be forgiven. Then there's Holy Saturday, the day before Easter, marks the day that Jesus was in the tomb. And then, of course, Easter Sunday, when we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. But today we're going to talk about Palm Sunday. And you have a palm branch in your hand. And I'd like for us to start reading out of the book of Mark, the 11th chapter. If you have your Bibles, turn with me. And they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. And if anyone asks you, why are you doing this? Tell them the Lord needs it, and he will send it back here shortly." They went and found the colt outside in the street, tied to a doorway, and they untied it. Some people standing there asked, "What are you doing untying that colt?" And they answered as Jesus had told them, and the people let them go. And when they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, and he sat on it, many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches as they had cut in the fields. And those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is he, the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest," Mark chapter 11. The beautiful picture, you've probably seen some sort of rendition of this unfolding. And I'd like for us to just contemplate, what is the background? What is really going on? Why is Jesus coming to Jerusalem? Why was it such a big deal? Why is it significant? And there are three things I'd like for us to ponder for a moment. It was the first time Jesus had ever come to Jerusalem since he began his public ministry. Even those people who weren't sure about Jesus knew that this could be something to look and to tune into. He was a man that was known for working miracles. People were raised from the dead, giving these radical teachings and causing thousands and thousands of people to follow him. And so people were intrigued, were curious, those who didn't really know what was going on. And now Jesus is coming to the Holy of Cities, the place where the great temple and the heart of the Jewish faith, and as well as the heart of the Jewish people. He was doing something different. And if he was going to do anything impactful, it was going to be here. And the crowd knew it. The second thing is the city was already on high adrenaline overdrive because it was the Passover. The Jewish people were already there celebrating this beautiful Jewish event. Thousands of people are already coming in as pilgrims, full of religious fervor. The Passover, if you didn't know, celebrates what God did through Moses in leading the Jewish people out of bondage from Egypt by sending the plagues and parting the seas. And this festival was huge in celebrating that. The place would be packed and the people would be excited. And then finally, third thing that's really important is that those who were close to Jesus knew that this was the end or the climax of his ministry. He had been telling them all along that what he was going to do, all his teachings, everything that he was about was moving toward Jerusalem. In Luke chapter 9, it gives us a review of what he said. As the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 13. Then Jesus went through the towns and villages, teaching as he made his way to Jerusalem. Luke 18. Jesus took the 12 aside and told them, "We are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written by the prophets about the Son of Man will be fulfilled. He will be handed over to the Gentiles, and they will mock him, insult him, spit on him, flog him, and kill him. On the third day, he will rise again." And so that's why it's a big deal to his followers. Maybe not everybody there understood this, but they knew something was happening, and everything was moving towards Jerusalem in Jesus' life. He had one single mission, Jesus. He was born to die in order to see his mission would be fulfilled. And that's why we're talking about Palm Sunday 2,000 years later. So what did the people do? They were excited. They shouted, "Hosanna," which means save us. It was an expression of praise. They waved palm branches. They were welcoming Jesus. And they were excited about Jesus. And it was almost like what you would see at a movie premiere, Hollywood star entrance. They laid down their blankets and palm branches on the ground in front of him to walk on. They were rolling out the red carpet. I love this because in some sense, I appreciate and understand it. It represented giving Jesus honor. These were people who were following Jesus. I like to call them fans. They wanted what Jesus had to give. They wanted his miracles. They wanted his healings. They needed food, wanted food. They wanted money. They wanted jobs. And we can go on why everybody at this moment was celebrating Jesus. They wanted health, love, marriage, the whole bit. Some of them wanted him to go all the way and set up a government leadership, an insurrection against the Roman government, and throw off this yoke of occupation that the Jewish people had on their necks. So what does Jesus do? In Mark chapter 11, verse 15, it says, on reaching Jerusalem, Jesus entered the temple area and began driving out those who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves, and he would not allow anyone to carry merchandise through the temple courts. And he taught them, and he said, is it not written, my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations, but you have made it a den of robbers. The chief priests and the teachers of the law heard this and began looking for a way to kill him, for they feared him. Jesus was adamant about cleansing the temple. When Jesus got to Jerusalem, he went straight to the temple and he began to clean it out. The temple was the center of Israel's worship and was viewed as the very, very dwelling place of God. You guys, some of you know the history of it. Started as a tent, the tabernacle. And then they built this beautiful temple, first built by Solomon, then reconstructed later on. And even though it was destroyed AD 70, there's parts of it still there today. But during Jesus' day, that's where you went to meet with God. Human beings would approach with sacrifice, and God would respond with forgiveness, and he would answer their prayers. So what did Jesus do when he got there? He cleaned it up and cleared it out. Why? Because it needed it. What was going on? People were coming to Jerusalem for the Passover feast, and they needed animals. So there was a need. If they're a long pilgrimage, they can't bring these animals to be sacrificed with them. So there was an industry so people could come to Jerusalem and buy and purchase the animal to be sacrificed. So these vendors would set up animal pens and as well as money tables because they had exchanged money from different regions. This is where they would bring their tithes, but they had to give it in local currency, so they had exchanged the money. But these people were not only doing a service, they were, I believe, taking advantage of the situation. And not only that, they were inside the temple. It'd be one thing if they were outside the temple, but they are now inside the temple exchanging these money and selling animals, trying to make money off of people's faith. It's one thing that we're very sensitive here, that we never try to do that. It was, terrible commercialism going on inside the temple. It was a distortion of worship. It was the opposite of honoring God. It was the opposite of worshiping God. It was the opposite of having reverence for God. The temple had lost all sense of being holy, set apart, and sacred. As we read just recently, it was also a cut through for people to go from point A to point B, and the shortcut was through the temple courts. It became polluted, defiled. It became everything, but not a place where it reflected God's goodness and holiness. There was a mockery going on in the temple. Why is this a big deal? Because people, followers of Jesus, when we come to him, we come to him in reverence. Amen? One of the things that I'm always challenged with is a sense of reverence in our services. We have to make sure that we know that God is to be revered and loved, but he's holy. We need to come in authenticity. But what was happening in the temple was a joke. They didn't come to connect with God. They didn't come to submit to God. They came to make money off of God. So how does Jesus respond? He makes it clear that this was not a game. Jesus was not playing a game, and he comes in and he begins to knock over tables. This was not a celebrity show. This was where God's presence resided. This is about how God came to earth and he called his men and women to follow him. And they wanted to lay down their palm branches. But if they understood what that meant, they wouldn't have been doing what was going on. Jesus wants to challenge us this morning here at Mosaic Church to take this into consideration. We are now the temple of the Holy Ghost. God resides in us. And God's in the business of making sure that we, the temple, are not being irreverent. We're not being dishonoring. Because Jesus wants to come and cleanse our hearts, revolutionize our lives from the inside out. God wants to go into every nook and cranny of our hearts. He wants to change us. The same Jesus that comes into the temple and knocks over the tables is the same Jesus that wants to come into this temple and make sure those things that are in our lives that aren't honoring to him are being dealt with. He wants to cleanse this temple. Jesus is saying to us this morning, he wants to go into our inner world. He wants to dig down into those roots, those root issues that we haven't dealt with. Those things that maybe we've compromised with. Maybe we have settled with pseudo-spirituality and weak commitments. But Jesus says, I am real, and he wants his temple to be holy as he is holy. So the first lesson I'm learning, and hopefully you're learning, it's easy to celebrate the Jesus coming in on the donkey. Jesus, the Jesus of what we might think of his reputation. The Jesus who heals, the Jesus who feeds people, the Jesus who protects people, the Jesus who promises the better life, the better marriage, the perfect kids, success at work. That's not the whole Jesus. But that's the people that were waving because they had this idea. They pictured it in their head what Jesus was going to do. They'd seen him do some things, and they began to play it out in their hearts and in their minds, and they're going to want Jesus to do that for them. He's the Jesus they were expecting to just fix them. He was going to serve them. He was going to comfort us. That's part of Jesus, but that's not all of Jesus. Because we have Jesus who is our Savior. He's not just a friend, he's our Savior. He's not the one that's going to get you just the perfect job and provide you the perfect right amount of money, and he's going to answer all your prayer needs and calm all your fears. That's part of Jesus. Half of Jesus. But this palm branch that people laid down in front of Jesus, there's another part to him. The one that's going to turn over the tables. He's going to ask us about your values, your lifestyle, and he wants to turn it over. Jesus has a very clear agenda, and his agenda is to make you and me like himself, like Jesus. He wants to take your life and have you become the person that you were designed to be. One of my favorite authors I like to read from time to time is C.S. Lewis. And he talks about so many times that we think that when we ask Jesus to come into our life, that we're asking for like interior designer. You know, he's going to move out that couch, put new drapes up, you know, change the carpet, all those kind of things. But when we ask Jesus to come into our life, he's not coming as an interior designer. He's coming as a contractor. He's going to knock down walls and knock out places that don't need to be there. He's in the reconstruction business. He's not an interior designer. But too many times as followers of Jesus, we just want the interior designer to come, not to mess with any of the solid walls in our lives. He wants to make sure that we are living up to the life that he's designed us to live. At the end of C.S. Lewis' quote, he says, "You thought you were going to be made into a decent little house, but he's building a palace, a temple." Are you ready to lay down this palm branch in front of all of Jesus, the whole Jesus? The second life lesson I learned in reading this story, it's not easy to welcome the Jesus who cleared out the temple, because he threatens us, threatens me. It's a little, you know, it's not the docile picture that we have of Jesus. But Jesus will confront and he will challenge us because he loves us and because he's the leader. Jesus will ask us questions. Are you sure you should do that? Are you sure you should watch that? Jesus, the whole Jesus, makes demands of us. And he'll call us to action. The Jesus that wants to live in our lives may be not the one that we've pictured, but the Jesus of Scripture, the person that really lived, wants every area of our lives submitted unto him. So Jesus wants to talk to us about our intimate life, how we spend our money, how we treat our spouses, what we look on at online, how we treat people. What's our work ethic? I'm erasing this next one. Our weight. Our language. From time to time, I'll send these funny little video clips. And I sent one the other day, and I didn't watch the whole video clip. And at the very end, after I watched it the second time, there was some curse words. And immediately I was convicted, but I couldn't unsend it. So I sent that person a text and I apologize. In most places, it's no biggie. But Jesus, heal me of, I used to have a really bad mouth, and I want to take it seriously. So I apologize, send a text immediately. I'm sorry I didn't hear the last 3 seconds of the guy losing his cool. I'm sorry. But Jesus is concerned about our language, how we forgive people, or maybe how we don't forgive people, how we treat your parents. I always tell my friends, and I'm not against prophecy. I believe in end times. But they'll ask me all these details about the end times. And I tell them, I'm still stuck on level one in how to love my enemies, how to love my parents and honor them. I'm not that advanced yet. So I'm still working on these things that Jesus is concerned about. How we treat people. How we treat people who are made in the image of God. How we treat our parents, how we treat our children, and what we do with our time. Jesus will ask us tough questions like, what have we done for the poor? What have we done to confront injustice? Are we caring for the orphan? What about the widow? These are tough questions Jesus asked us. How about the widow that lives all alone? Has anyone visited them? Jesus is going to ask that question. How about those who are in prison? How about for those who are homeless, who are hungry? These are questions Jesus is going to ask us. And that's why here on Palm Sunday, I'm asking myself, Lord, am I going to serve you the whole Jesus or just the nice Jesus that I like to put in my little box? Because we serve Jesus the Savior and Lord. It's not just one or the other. People always ask me, Mario, when did you get saved? And I asked Jesus to become Savior at age 18. And I make that very clear. I didn't ask him to be Lord until I was 22. And those 4 years were horrific in my life. The other thing I love about this story is that Jesus comes in on a donkey, a colt. He doesn't come in on a stallion. Again, I don't have time, but why a donkey and not a stallion? Of course, he was referring back to the Old Testament, but why? So many times we think, maybe in our Western mind, what Jesus would be like. Let me challenge you to do some Bible study and look into it. Why a donkey? Everything about Palm Sunday represents is about Jesus declaring himself Lord, and that means Lord of all. It's interesting. In a few days, you'll have a whole group of people shouting Hosanna, but at the end of that week, we'll be shouting, crucify him. I want to challenge this morning. I'm going to ask the band to come on up. We can sing the Brooke Fraser song. For 4 years, I laid down this branch in front of half of Jesus. I'm challenging you this morning to make sure that when we lay down this branch, that we lay it down in front of the whole Jesus, not just half of Jesus, but we are saying yes to Jesus all the way. This branch crosses yours to take home, but it's going to be a reminder. I pray that it reminds you every day. Maybe put it in your car, on your dash, in your Bible, a book. That'll remind you that we are here to serve the whole Jesus. Not just the warm and fuzzy Jesus. Jesus did die for our sins, but not just to forgive us, but to change us. To give us new radical life. So you can walk in the path that he has designed for us. Not just as forgiver, but as leader. So as we start this beautiful week, Holy Week, what I'm going to ask us to do is to invite Jesus into our lives all the way. All Jesus, all the way in our lives. If you want, just close your eyes for a moment. Let's just take a moment. As we hold this palm branch in our hands, Lord, we say thank you for loving us, challenging us. But Lord, we want to make a commitment this morning. That we want to serve the whole Jesus. We want to serve the whole Jesus. not just the part Jesus, but the whole Jesus. That's you. I'm not going to ask you to come to the front, but I'm going to ask you to just raise your hand and say, Pastor Mario, I want to make a commitment to worship the whole Jesus. Amen. Just raise your hand. Yes. The Lord wants to make it clear to us. This is what Palm Sunday is all about. Lord, help us this morning to worship you fully in every area of our lives. Yes, Lord, we need healing. We need financial blessing. Lord, we need help at work. We need relationship help. But Lord, we also need you to cleanse us in areas that need changing. We love you, Father. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen, amen. We're going to go ahead and stand, and we're going to sing this song as we end.
We want to thank you for listening. We pray that you were blessed and encouraged. If you liked what you heard today, subscribe to this podcast and listen whenever you like. To find out more about Mosaic Church, please visit www.mosaicchurchtlh.com.